Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Welcome to Jason Powell's Pro Wrestling Boom Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. Get ready for the latest news, analysis, and interviews featuring big names from the world of pro wrestling. Here comes the boom!
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Boom Live. I'm Jason Powell. I'll be joined shortly by Survivor Hall of Famer Johnny Fairplay of RealityAfterShow.com. We are here live the Mondays after WWE and AEW pay-per-view events. 1 Central, 2 Eastern at PWAudio.net if you'd like to listen in the future. And if you are calling into the show to take part, you have a question, comment, you just call the number 773-897-6321. Once you get in there, hit 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation. We already have a few people lined up that we'll be getting to shortly. Of course, we are here coming out of WWE Survivor Series War Games. Be happy to talk about that with you guys today. Actually, Jake Barnett and I gave it a B-plus grade, and Will Pruitt gave it an A-minus grade in our post-show audio reviews. But anything is fair game. Current events related in the world of pro wrestling, no rabbit. I don't want to talk about 1960s AWA. As much as I like the AWA, I was not alive then. And but we can certainly talk about anything current events related, rabbit, in the world of pro wrestling. He's already in the queue. We'll be going to him in a little bit as well. So he must be feeling better. That's the good news. But now, let's bring in Johnny Fairplay, again, of RealityAfterShow.com. Johnny, Jake Barnett, and I gave it a B+. Will gave it an A- in our same night audio review for .NET members. What do you give WWE Survivor Series War Games?
Jason, I just noticed there was a pay per view this weekend.
Oh dear God! You gonna bring in someone from a band to fill in for you again?
I give it an A. I mean, the Bloodline has been the most fun wrestling storyline over the past year plus now, I think. And I mean, it's hard for me to say this being like one of the most devout Four Horsemen fans of all time, but if you're looking at longevity and everything else, is this the greatest faction in the history of wrestling factions?
Ooh, man, too soon for me to say. It's gonna go down as one, that's for sure, especially with the popularity of WWE. I think, oddly enough, they managed to convince some people that, like, Evolution was one of the all-time greatest factions. And I was like, no, there's a lot of talent in there, for sure. But I never looked at Evolution as being, like, this all-time great faction when it existed. And so, you know, obviously, if they get their promotional magic behind the Bloodline, yeah, I think it's going to be remembered by many. But, yeah, too soon for me to say, but I think a relevant question and the fact that you're asking does speak volumes about the success of the Roman Reigns-led group.
Well, my buddy War Dog from Survivor, Season 38, Edge of Extinction, he actually joined me at my Survivor viewing party in New Jersey this past Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. And he was like, you know, what a great match, even better. I'm reading text. He goes, what a great match, even better storytelling. Bloodline may be the most dominant WB faction of all time. 1997 Heart Foundation had a similar stretch, but not sustained. Only real comp is Evolution. I'm just like, you're insane.
See, I don't get it. But yeah, I think people just look at who was in the faction and they don't really think about what was going on
so
with
too.
The faction.
And same with the Four Horsemen. I mean, like, I love the Four Horsemen. You know, I think of the greatest collection of and telling the story. I mean, you know, you had Ric Flair, and then you had Tully and Arn, and you know, and you know, put in either Barry Windham. Like, I love the Barry Windham version of the Four Horsemen. That's my favorite. But if you look back at what the Four Horsemen really were, I think the incarnation with Lex Luger was the best, because he was, you know, he wanted to wear those fur coats too. He was about the ladies and all that. Where you had Barry Windham, you know, with jeans and a cowboy, you know, vest or something, and I'm just like, oh, that's not Horseman. So you know, but he's a Horseman, but he's not a Four Horseman, you know, with that attire. So but go back and look at that. It was just short windows of time, and think about the Four Horsemen, you know, during the NWO, they cut the knees off the Horsemen every chance they got. So, and then the NWO, you know, great storyline on the offset. But I mean, look at the end of that. Ugh.
And if we're talking greatest factions, I would honestly put in WWE greatest factions, I would put DX ahead of Evolution. Again, great players in Evolution, but I lived through that time and was like, yeah, it's a good faction. Yeah, but it wasn't until years later when Randy Orton and Batista really hit their stride that I think people looked back on it and thought, man, what an amazing faction that was. And it was just, if you look at it, who is in it now? But at the time, it was good. I never thought it was great. I think DX had way more staying power.
Yeah, I hated Ric Flair playing the role of J.J. Dillon. I'm just like, ugh, you know. And then Batista was a work in progress at best.
Yeah. And so was Randy at that point in his career. I mean, he was very good, but he was still, you know, really trying to figure things out.
Yeah, but he wasn't. He wasn't the king of the B-plus match.
He had learned the chin lock by then, though. I think we'll have to look back. I think he had learned the chin lock of doom by that point. Hey, again, if you want to join into the conversation today, 773-897-6321 is the number to call. Hit 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to join in on the conversation and you're not just in listen-only mode. You know, I wrote about the show today. My hit list is out at prowrestling.net for those who want to check that out. And one of the things, you've kind of touched on it, Johnny. You're making my point for me. We have so many good matches these days, right? I mean, just every night of the week, it feels like there's a good to great match, just depending on the show. And sometimes there's multiple great matches. Like, how many Dynamites have you seen where there have been 2-3 really good to great matches? And right now with this best of 7 series going on.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, sure. I agree. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know, 2-3 good matches, like every episode.
Yeah. And it's great. And I'm not taking anything away from anybody that's out there working their asses off, putting in these great matches. But after a while, when you see so many of them, naturally, they don't mean as much as they once did. It was not, you know, when you and I were growing up, we'd get a great match and people would be buzzing about it for weeks, if not months, because the style was different back then, especially on the WWF side of things. And now, okay, you know, people still can appreciate that great match in the moment, but then it's just on to the next one. And few have that staying power that they used to. And my point is that, I did to wrap this all up real quick, Johnny.
Hold on.
My point in all of this is that it's not about great matches. They supplement the product. They certainly add to it. The key, the storytelling is paramount. And if you don't have good storytelling, those great matches all just kind of run together. And and I think that's what we saw an example of on Saturday. Whether you loved the War Games matches or thought they were disappointing compared to the War Games of past, I think, by and large, people seem to enjoy these matches, but it was the storytelling that really hit home in that final match, Johnny. And that really, I mean, that's the key right now in all of pro wrestling. Who can tell the best stories?
Yeah. And you know, you kind of mock, you know, the 80s WWF, or in WWF, whatever. But Crockett was the same. Like, the matches in your head and my head in the late 80s, the Midnight Express versus the Road Warriors, we didn't see that. Well, I mean, we got, you know, stupid Night of the Skywalkers, but it was our imaginations that was that match. Sure. It was the storytelling of the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering throwing the pumpkins off the scaffold or off the buildings. You know, this is what happens when you fall off the scaffold. This is, you will die. And you're just like, in your head, you just created the great, you know, it was the match beyond. And it was beyond our even comprehension of how amazing it could be. Like, it turns out it sucked. But it did, that's not it. It was the storytelling of what that match could be in our heads. And for a lot of us, we didn't have money to get the pay-per-view. You know, it was just like you had these guys telling the stories like, you know, this is going to happen. This is going to just like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And, you know, and half the people or probably less, they never got to see the match. And they're just like, I bet it was the greatest match of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And then even last week's show, we were talking about Full Gear and it was storytelling. It's pushing people that people want to see in prominent positions that really carried that show, because MJF and Jon Moxley, I think if you put that up against any other AEW pay-per-view main event, not exactly the most satisfying from a best match standpoint, especially with a double ref bump and a brass knuckles finish. But they told a story with MJF. We'll see if it's any good. They still have to kind of cap that off and explain everything. But you're putting people in those positions. Yeah. You're storytelling along the way. And so, yes, I mean, that is just such a key. And I don't think that everyone gets that. I just think there's so many match junkies out there that they think it's all about the matches. And hey, everybody has different viewing habits. I do know people that that's what they care about. They want to watch the matches. The stories don't matter. But I think they are very much outnumbered. Even if people don't talk about it, Johnny, I mean, I just see it. And I think the numbers show it too. When wrestling storytelling is at its best, I mean, how many times have you heard an aunt or an uncle or, you know, somebody from the past go, male soap opera is how wrestling used to be described. It's because they loved the stories. They loved the characters. It wasn't about the great matches.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, great matches are so few and far between. And that's it. And only a percentage of us even got to see the great matches.
Right.
So, but we were hooked on the story alone, just alone. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I think if you dissected the main event of Survivor Series, like, you know, move for move, whatever, it probably isn't like, you know, it may not be in the top 100 matches of the year. Maybe, I don't know. So, but just for argument's sake, let's say it's not. I don't care. So, like, it could have been one of the worst wrestled matches I've ever seen. It was perfect. I mean, what heck? You got you. What's his name? Ridge Holland was in it. It wasn't great. So, but it was this pay per view is an A because of the story.
Never should have been out there second, but that's just me. I do want to give everybody a preemptive warning. So I think we've talked about it. I do have a new dog in the house. His name is Obi. And Obi has been very quiet for the most part, but he's starting to come out of his shell. And Obi is starting to now sit at the patio door, and if he sees the neighbor dog comes out, he likes to bark. And he did it right before the show, so I'm hoping timing-wise it's good. You may also hear him snoring in the background. If he does that, then I will have to mute myself and take him out of the room and try to do it quickly. But yeah, he's sitting right by me now being a good boy, but we'll see how he does. All right, just wanted to warn everybody about that. Johnny, do you want to just dive into phone calls? Do you have any other points about Survivor Series War Games you wanted to make?
So I for those of you that are don't subscribe to ProWrestling.net, your members only services, you Jake and Will had an amazing roundtable after a post show audio deal, and it was awesome. My only disagreement, and I understand exactly where all three of you were coming from, and I feel especially you. I loved Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. I mean, my arch enemy in professional wrestling is AJ Styles, so of course I have a vested interest there. And I love Finn Balor. And he was rocking custom Jordan 1s, which, you know, has a weight in my heart, coming from a guy that's rocking Jordans as we speak this very second. But I thought it was a great match. I mean, I understand that, you know, you've had this feud that may have outstayed its welcome, maybe not. The club's not that hot. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, you know. Case-by-case basis, you know, individual, you know, whatever. And, you know, for the culmination of the feud to be a singles match kind of didn't make sense. But then again, we got no resolution at, you know, Blood Money 8 or whatever the last Saudi pay-per-view was. But I love the match. I mean, like, you even admitted after, it's just like, look at their chest and they killed themselves. And I caught them killing themselves during the match. And I was just like, I like this match. But when I was watching it, I was like, wow, this feels like an AEW match and what we like about AEW matches. And I think that also showed the stark contrast between WWE and AEW, because on a pay-per-view set up by storytelling to have a match in the middle of it, it seemed odd and not as compelling to most, and, you know, especially you.
I liked the match. I gave it a hit. My issue with it was that, see, you think this was like the culmination. I don't think it was. I think this was just another match on this never-ending, you know, in this never-ending series of matches between the OC and Judgment Day. I don't feel like this was the end by any means. And so I can appreciate the match, but I didn't feel like it had any stakes. They positioned this as, I think AJ Styles tries to end the feud. And it's like, you know, he's not going to. Win or lose, this isn't over.
I think it is over. I do. Think about it, like, they just find someone else, attack somebody. Like, I feel like Finn Balor gets his heat back by attacking who's on Raw? There's someone there he can attack.
I'm sure there is, but yeah, I just, seeing is believing on this one. Maybe they pulled the plug because it's been cold. I mean, it's a mid-card feud. It's okay, but I don't worry about Judgment Day. I think they're fine for what they are, and I worry more about the OC, and I'd rather see AJ Styles flying solo away from Gallows and Anderson, but I don't think that's what he even wants. I think they're pretty content doing it. So yeah, I appreciated the match, but I just didn't. You know, there was nothing. If you're going to, let's pretend that was the end of the story. Tell me that. Tell me this is it. Last match between these two sides. They didn't do any of that. And WWE is usually pretty good about telling us that this is the end of the road. And I'm not going to be surprised at all if we get some six-man tag match or even a rematch tonight.
Oh, no, I don't want that. I felt like it was the end, and they usually are heavy-handed, but, you know, this is a new regime, and maybe it's, you know, maybe they didn't want to say it was the end because they don't say they forecast that this is the end of the feud. Well, then it says Judgment Day sucks, and they don't want to tell that. They don't want to say that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll find out tonight. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it is the mid-card OC and Judgment Day feud. Sure. That kind of bores me.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe the callers will bring it up. I don't want to scare anyone away from it. But yeah, we'll see. I don't think it's over, but we'll find out tonight. I say we do take some calls. We're going to start today with 615. Yep. I believe this would be Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, is that you?
Yes, it is, Jason and Johnny. First of all, I'm just glad you're on the show, man, and you don't have all these crazy issues that you had when I was on a couple weeks times ago. I know the AEW is probably fine. I didn't get to actually go back and listen to that one. I need to go back and listen to it. But
Oh, it was not. It was worse.
No. He scheduled a haircut for the middle of the show.
Yes.
Last week was a dumpster fire.
No, man,
we missed you.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. I missed you.
I wish I could have definitely talked about it because I had a lot to say on that show for sure. But, Johnny, it's good to have you back, man. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. It's obviously good to talk to both of you guys. I love talking wrestling with each one of you. And Johnny, I will just say really fast, I'm with both of you. Like, I'm with you, Johnny. I definitely like them. I really enjoyed the match a lot. But I'm with Jason as far as the story's not done. There's more to go. And they didn't tell a really good story with OC and Judgment Day. It's just kind of been like the OC's back. I'm not really into the OC. That's what doesn't really do it for me, is I'm just not into the OC right now. I'm into AJ. I think they could still do some stuff with AJ. And I was curious what you guys think they could do. Like, is there anything in the future with AJ? Because I think he has so much more left to give. I know he's older. I mean, I understand that. But he can still, we've seen, he can still go in the ring. If you tell a good story with him and another guy, they can do some good stuff. Like, do you think WWE has anything, Triple H might have something in the future for AJ here in the next year or so? Or do you think it's just kind of, he's going to be a mid-card guy, have good matches, you know, maybe do something a little bit here and there, like a match with Finn where you know it's a good match, but they don't tell. Like, where do you think they might go with AJ here in the future? Is there anything good on the horizon or great on the horizon for him? What do you guys think?
Johnny, tell us about your nemesis.
I mean, I think if you hype up a heel that makes – I mean, like, AJ wears his heart on his sleeve. I mean, he wears his heart on the side of his lower abdomen or whatever. He loves his family.
Right.
Like, AJ is a family guy. I mean, like, there's two ways to start a feud with AJ Styles and make it personal. You can talk about his family, or you can destroy some of his classic video game consoles. So those are the two ways. So you heat up a heel that makes it personal, you know, kind of like, you know, what Rollins did with Matt Riddle. And, I feel like it's an easier thing that, you know, you don't have to worry about Google interfering in your storyline. But, I feel like someone could easily make it heel could easily make it personal with AJ, Mitch's family, and you got a hot feud. Because I think AJ, he doesn't have the greatest promo in him, but I do think he is real in that if you say, hey, this bad guy, you know, whether this is predetermined or not, whatever, this bad guy's talking about your family. What would you say, AJ, in response to that? He's got a promo to come back if you talk about his family. And I think that there's at least one run right there doing that. So, or you have someone that's just like, you know, I'm the best. Like, AJ, you were a great wrestler. I am a great wrestler. And it's a pride thing. And that fuels the feud. So I feel like there's as much in the tank that AJ needs there to be in the tank, and there can be some money feuds there. So I don't feel that, you know, Roman Reigns is particularly that person, but, you know, maybe, you know, in a year from now, Cody's a heel. AJ versus Cody Rhodes, I could watch for 6 months.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am really hoping that I think it's too late for this year. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he can't like get the U.S. title picture or something, but coming out of WrestleMania, I am extremely hopeful that they're going to do something with AJ Styles. He's 45 years old now, doesn't wrestle like it, but eventually everybody hits that wall. And I've been talking about this on and off for a while. Get what you can out of this guy. He's such a beloved figure, and I think that if you do decide to, hey, we're going to make AJ Styles, it's not going to take much work because the people do enjoy him. And I just don't know, with Gallows and Anderson there, how likely that is to happen. I'd love to see them split up in the draft. Let Gallows and Anderson be the tag team, do their thing. I'm over the club. I'm over the actual Bullet Club. I don't care about this stuff anymore. And yeah, they're together, and you can. I think they'll do more with Judgment Day again, in part because they just added Mia Yim to this. So there's probably more to come there. But post Mania, whenever the draft draft is, I really hope that that's when they start to say, "Hey, we've only got so much time left with him. Let's do something." Sean, what else do you have?
Super quick, Jason. Is Mia Yim even still in the, like, I don't even think there was a reference to her being in the club during Survivor Series.
You got to remember they had the opening match, so Rhea Ripley wasn't out there either. Yes, as far as of, like, Monday, they were still all unit.
Okay, so because they as I said, I don't think during Survivor Series they mentioned it, so I kind of felt like they moved on, and that's why I internalized that this was the end of that feud with AJ and Finn as well.
I hope you're
but
right.
But as I said, probably just wishful thinking on my part. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope you're
thinking.
Right.
I'm
Sean.
Sorry.
What do you got, Sean?
Well, going back to real quick, Jason, I had to bring it up. Man, good win for Thanksgiving. My team sucks ass. Like, they to give up 360 yards on the ground. I know the Eagles, again, we know the Eagles are a contender in the NFC. There's no question about that. But good God almighty, like, that was awful to watch. Aaron is hurt. I understand that. I know we're all big fans of him. Even though he's hurt, and I'm giving him that little leeway, I think he had phoned it in to a point. I think, you know, he's obviously done this year with Green Bay. And, I'm curious to see what Green Bay does. It'll be interesting. But getting off of that, because
real quick, Sean, do you hope that they
– but
real quick, Sean, do you hope that they sit him so you get a good look at Jordan Love? Or, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to play, he gets to play.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you have to. Jordan Love actually did look decent in a little bit he got, and I'm not sold on him. I'm not at all. But I think at this point you just have there's no playoffs this year, so why play Aaron Rodgers? There's no reason to. Get him healthy. If he wants to go somewhere else, that's fine. I mean, I think they have to at least see what Jordan Love has right now and at least go with it. And, you know, that way if you know he plays well at the end of the year, you can think, all right, well, let's just go ahead and go with it and see what we got, you know, because they have some talent around them. It's just – and they have to bring more in, but they're – I don't know. It's just – it's a lot. It's just been a disappointing season knowing where they've been and where they are now. It's just kind of like, ew. But it is what it is. We'll see what we got. Jason, I was going to say, too, going back to the women's War Games match, I guess I'm not maybe as high on it as a lot of people were. I mean, Will really, really liked it. I mean, I didn't dislike it. There were a lot of spots I think that were just kind of choreographed. Like when they all did the suplex from each corner of the cage, I don't like when they do stuff like that. It just feels forced, and they do a lot of little stuff like that that I think kind of bugs me during the match. But if the work was good, I mean, they worked their butts off and it was a good match. I didn't, you know, I would give it a solid. I mean, I would give it a hit, but there were things about it I didn't like. But I think because I know, of course, they're going to, you know, Becky and Bayley here, which, of course, I am totally in favor of it because Bayley needed something different. I think she's really fallen off, not necessarily all because of her, just because the booking, I think, has been a little poor. But to get Becky back, get her fired up. And this is the dilemma I have about this feud. I just don't know if Bayley can lose anymore right now. I think she's lost so much. I don't know how you can have Bayley beat Becky when I'm assuming you're getting Becky fired up in, here in the next few months to go for Ronda at WrestleMania. And I just don't see how – I mean, Becky's, you know, you can say she's Teflon, but I don't think losing to Bayley right out of the gate helps anything. So what do you, where do you think they're going with that feud? Do you think Becky Ronda is officially still a WrestleMania match? And if so, what do you think they do with this Becky Bayley? Because it could be really interesting if they win and lose back and forth. You know, they could tell a lot of different stuff, and I'm curious where they go. What do you guys think?
Johnny, your thoughts?
So – I guess most important to me, what is the current touring schedule with WWE? I mean, like, are they doing like Raw house shows and SmackDown house shows? Excuse me, because I can't imagine they're splitting up Becky and Seth Rollins. Like, you know, I feel like this is in the new version of WWE. You know, don't split up, especially married couples with a kid, just to be dicks. So are we looking at a draft sometime soon, and Rollins is heading to SmackDown along with Becky, or is it, you know, is the touring schedule as such now that, you know, they're just most of the shows are WWE super shows, and you have people from both brands, so either, you know, both Seth and Becky are on the card together, or they're both not on the card together. So like that's number one for me to know how this could even morph into a Becky versus Ronda Rousey.
Sure. So it's that time of year where you're going to get a little more super show action with the holidays and stuff. But what they've been doing is having each brand have a house show on a Saturday and then usually one on a Sunday. I'm looking ahead now and they've got a couple coming up where there's going to be two of each. So two Saturday, two Sunday. And they are, I think, brand specific. They're just listed as holiday tour. I think the key, though, with Becky is it's a matter of her winning the Rumble, winning the Chamber, something like that. Well, you know, one of the two, to be able to kind of pick her. If it's the Rumble, she picks who she goes
out. Call out.
Yeah, and for that matter, it could be somebody else wins the Rumble, and then and they choose to face Bianca. That could be Rhea, for instance. And then Becky wins.
Rhea.
Yeah, Becky wins the Chamber. Assuming there is one, then however they determine who gets that other shot, then she's slotted in as facing Ronda. So at least then, not that they care much these days about having an excuse to cross over, but at least then you have one. And Mania season, they're going to be on both brands. You know, they're going to be on both shows anyway. They're going to be on Raw. They're going to be on SmackDown. So I don't think it's a big deal if they end up having her kind of cross over to SmackDown to go after Ronda. I think the bigger issue is long term, and yes, you're right. Whenever that draft is, I'd be shocked if they didn't end up with, you know, the husband and wife duo on the same brand. They've been pretty good about that. There's no more dick of the draft moves, which we used to talk about for years when WWE would hold draft. Yeah. All right, what's the dick move of the draft? It's been a while since we've seen that, and I doubt we will. I felt like a lot of
the dick of the move drafts were based on, whose relationship is it 100% right now, and who's really attractive in that 100% relationship?
But yeah, Sean, I do.
Just throwing it out there.
Gotcha. Sean, I do think that we're getting Ronda and Becky at WrestleMania. I'll be surprised if we don't. As far as the Bayley feud is concerned, would I like to see them salvage Bayley somehow? Yes. I don't think it'll be, if, let's say they have a 3-month feud. All right, Bayley probably gets some help and you know, from Io Sky and Dakota Kai to maybe steal one of those matches, maybe. But yeah, I'm not putting Bayley over Becky clean. But I think Bayley's not in a great place. That faction has been pretty flat. Yeah, they have the tag titles. They mean something. But I think a lot of it, and I've talked about this before, Bayley has been underwhelming on the mic since she returned. And I don't know if she was someone that really benefited from having those scripted promos, or if she just offered game. Maybe she was someone they trusted to do things on her own before Vince McMahon ended up resigning, and she just hasn't found that groove since she's come back. I don't know. It hasn't been awful. It's been getting better. But Sean, I think you sacrifice Bayley to Becky right now, and you worry about trying to rebuild Bayley later.
And when that bell rings, Bayley's on. She mm-hmm. is perfect once the bell rings. It's just the red light that's the issue. So, and she was amazing with the red light. So I don't know. I love it, and oh my god, I'm watching the first match Survivor Series. I feel like I have the biggest crush in the world on Bayley. I think she is beyond beautiful.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Johnny.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. Well, Jason, I'll always bring it up. I mean, they. Like I said, I know it's a long time ago, and I understand it, but I just think, again, Vince just ruined it. Bayley was such a sympathetic baby face, such a story to tell, and they just freaking God-blessed ruined the crap out of it, and it was just hard
look
to
at
watch
her.
As a fan.
And one of those few NXT characters.
Look at me, taking that title away.
All right, hold on, guys. It was one of those few NXT characters that... It was geared to the main roster in Vince's taste. It was meant for children. And he still just didn't get it, didn't push it. And yeah, by now, I think she would have had to have moved on from the hugger Bayley. But it would have meant so much more had that hugger version of her clicked on the main roster. And then she turned heel. But instead, Vince just didn't get it. Yeah, it's baffling. Johnny, it sounded like you had something to say.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, the rumor and innuendo was like, you know, when she got there, he was just like, they're like, you know, here's your next John Cena. Back up the Brinks truck. Here we go. And he goes, look at her. That's the rumor. And it's just like, yeah, look at her. She doesn't look like that's a good thing that she doesn't, she's not part plastic and and looks like every other girl that you want to hire. That's what makes her special. So... Yeah, so no, but that was a rumor. Look at her. I'm like, yes, exactly. Look at her. You got something different. Congratulations, dude. You got something that every little girl in the crowd can look and be like, that could be me.
Sean, did you have one more?
I'm sorry.
And there was an expiration date on it.
Yeah, I wanted to say just one more quick little thing before I get to my last little point is Ronda has to, like, Ronda, my issue with Ronda is, she has the title and she has to be on TV, but it's hurting her. The more she's on TV, the more it's hurting her, in my opinion. What do you guys think about that? How do they deal with this the next month or so up until the Royal Rumble? What do you think they do with her in the future, this little run here?
You know, it's funny you say that. I wrote about it, I think, both Saturday night and certainly today in the hit list. She should be a part-time player. She should be a special attraction. It's really admirable that she wants to work as much as she does. She obviously doesn't need to, but I think you just see it. It's twofold. I think her matches would obviously mean more if they limited her to special matches. You wouldn't be getting these matches where she beats up Natalya and she beats Shotzi. There's no mystery. There's no nothing. She'd be having the key matches. That's the only time you'd see her is when she was working with a star. The other part of it, she could go to the Performance Center and rehearse those matches ahead of time. Where now the schedule, I don't think, really allows it. And I think she's improved, but nah, you know, she's not standing out for her in-ring work by any means. So, yeah, I think she should be a special attraction. Johnny, where are you on that?
I loved seeing Shayna out there with her. I mean, I don't want Shayna to be the fall guy, but I love that combination. I mean, Shayna Baszler is your hype person. I wish Shayna Baszler was my hype person because there's plenty of people that don't like me that I would love Shayna to take care of. So I'm hoping that Shayna is protected a little more than just being the fall guy for when, you know, Ronda needs a loss going into a network special or whatever. And if she's protected enough and Shayna is semi-responsible for the loss at Mania, like, you know, she goes to interfere and it backfires and that turns into a Shayna versus Ronda deal where Shayna takes out Ronda so that Ronda can go can take a break, and then go part-time after that. I think it's win, 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 win.
And Sean, I think you said you had one final point.
Yeah, just one final point. I hope Rabbit's doing okay too. I'm glad he's back on here. I'll go to AEW really fast. I liked they put the title on Hayter because I think Tony just there wasn't anything there, and I just think Hayter. I'm not, you know, I don't love Jamie Hayter, but I like her. She's talented for sure. But Wednesday on Dynamite, I didn't like the response she got. It didn't seem like super. They didn't seem super into her, you know. And they were in Chicago, so you think they would have been. And with the story with her and Britt Baker, which I'm assuming is going to happen, I think I talked about it actually with Wade on his post show because I got to talk to him about AEW, which I usually don't get to do, but anybody really about AEW. But I think this is going to make Hayter look really stupid at the end of this feud when Britt turns on her and they wait a long time and Britt, you know, gives all these hints that, okay, something might be happening and Jamie just doesn't seem to get it. And it makes baby faces look stupid to me when they just don't see something coming and then all of a sudden, well, it happens like 2 months later and you've seen it for months and you're like, oh, well, hmm. So I wanted to hear what you guys actually thought about that because I know that's where they're going. I mean, it has to be. And I just don't think it's going to make Hayter look super strong. And when she beats her, it's just, you know, it's fine. But so where do you think they're going with that? And Jason, like I said, I appreciate you, man. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. Johnny, you are the man. It's always good to talk to you guys, and thanks for taking my call, as always.
Hey, thank you, Sean. Always good to hear from you. Always great question. Johnny, I'll let you start with this one.
Well, Sean, I have a question for you. Are you a fan of Toni Storm?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just think they haven't done anything.
Are you one of her only fans?
No. No, definitely not, Johnny. I cannot say that I am.
That's all I got.
Fair enough. Yeah, I believe it or not, I know this. I don't know if he still is, but it may not surprise people. Jermaine from Chicago told me that he is one of Toni Storm's only fans. It did not surprise me in the least if you know anything about Jermaine. But the Hayter and Baker story, yeah, the longer they go, I think you're right, Sean. We got to let them see it. We got to wait and see how they do it. But I think the longer it goes, if it is, you know, Britt doing what she did last week where she cuts off Hayter, you can do a little of that. You can't go too far with it because you're absolutely right. The last thing you want is for the babyface to be the only person in the world who doesn't see the heel turn come or the split coming, the attack, what have you. So we'll see how they do, but I look forward to that feud. I think that Britt Baker ideally will work as a heel instead of trying to turn herself babyface at the last second like she did with Saraya. That's still bizarre. But I do think that the two of them together should be, they get along behind the scenes, it sounds like. I think they will end up working really well together, and I look forward to that program whenever it happens. Let's go. We're going to go to 248 first, and then 405, I see you waiting, so sit tight for a minute. But 248, the one and only, Johnny, prepare yourself. It's Rabbit Moran. What's going on, Rabbit?
Oh. Hi.
Hello.
hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think we were ready for a promo just out of the gate.
Yeah, you're kind
come
of mellow
on,
today,
come
Rabbit.
On, Jason.
Are you on meds from
come
the
on,
hospital?
Jason. Yeah. I have a question.
Please.
Come on, Jason.
Okay, ask your damn
don't
question,
do it,
Rabbit.
Jason. Okay.
Oh, this
okay.
feels like the dentist.
I wanted you to know. I wanted you to know that I'm still at the. I'm still in the rehab center, and I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. That's wonderful.
One day at a time, brother. One day
and
at a time.
And I wanted you to know that the name of the place, in case anyone wants to go there, is
no. Don't get the name of the place. Jeez.
No, it's okay. Johnny, it's Rabbit. He'd be the only one you'd have to worry about going there. So he's already there. Right. He
okay.
can go ahead and
fair
say
enough.
The name.
Oh, because I'm staying at I'm at the Johnny Fairplay Center.
Yes, that tracks.
The Johnny Fairplay Center for weak knees. For those
wayward.
Who missed it, Rabbit is there with a knee injury, I believe it was.
Yes.
It's for wayward souls.
Okay, now here's the interesting thing. I got two things that Johnny Fairplay said I got answers for. Number one, you guys first talked about factions.
Okay, I thought you were asking the questions, but he's giving the answers, ever. Jason.
The best faction of all time. There's nothing you can top it.
Yeah.
And that is, and I know you guys mentioned two good ones.
Oh, I know where he's going with this.
But,
Age
of the Fall. Yeah. Age of the Fall from Age of the Fall with
Jimmy Jacobs.
Chuck Rollins, Alice in Wonderland, Lacey, Rain. The Butcher was in it. It was the best faction of all time. It's got to be. Nothing but scars.
How much did they draw?
What do you think of that one?
I think Gabe Sapolsky is sending you a check in the mail. It was a good faction, but yeah, I think Johnny asked.
Okay.
You can be a really good faction and not draw. I don't think it's going to enter the best faction conversation for most people.
Yeah. Now he mentioned something, and I'm going to call him on it. He talked about a group called the Road Warriors.
Never
He's wrong about the Road Warriors. They
never drew a dime.
They weren't that good. Believe me, they weren't that good. The Road Warriors could go 30 seconds. If they went past 30 seconds, they would expose the business. That's why only let them go on TV for 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Perfect. What's the problem? What's the problem?
Well,
have 30-second matches?
They like they were a great tag team. They weren't that good.
They were.
They were real green. They were a green tag team.
They were green, but boy, did they make a lot of green, too.
Yeah,
but they weren't that good. They really weren't that good. And by the way,
back when Hawk was alive, I wish you had told Hawk that to his face because he would have showed you how good he was.
Yeah, you'd have problems with both knees, Rabbit.
He's not the kind of guy that would. Yeah, he would not let a comment like that go by the wayside.
No, now let me tell you something, Jermaine, your Bears are not that good. By the way, your Bears suck. Just remember that. The Vikings are going to beat them. Vikings are
out of the press, Jason.
Vikings are way better than Jermaine's Bears. So Jermaine,
where have you been keeping these secrets, Rabbit?
What?
Where have you been keeping these secrets? You're trying to tell me that the Bears are not good and the Vikings are good? Where do you find such statistics?
I know, like Mandalay Bay is going to be giving you a call, Rabbit.
Because the Bears can't beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
That's why the Vikings are better.
I'm calling insider trading on this.
This is all setting up for the Vikings losing to the Bears in the final week.
And you got to remember something. Every time at Q&A, he always tried to cheat and talk about how great his Bears were. Well, his Bears aren't that good.
They will be next. They should be. They'll be better next year. Anything else, Rabbit?
There's nothing that people love on free content podcasts than inside baseball.
Anything else, Rabbit?
Yeah, one last thing. I want to ask Johnny. Now, my friend Christy, she said, and this is a good. She thought that you the reason you're never invited to WWE events is because you suck.
And
I'm better. I'm the real co-host of the show. People call in just to hear me talk. So I made this show what it is. People listen.
I saw that on the dark web.
About calling in, listening to hear me talk because they know White Rabbit's great.
Rabbit Brain, I have a question for you. You may be able to help me on this. This is a rarity because I normally don't ask you questions, nor do I care your answer. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. My buddy Dennis messaged me earlier, and he goes, "Do you know who Alexa Bliss is?" And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "I figured, let me know if this is real or not." So Alexa Bliss is calling out of Ohio's cell number, okay? And she has her personal Capital Cash account. It's been frozen. She has $800,989,000. And she's asked my friend Dennis to send his Cash App information so it can be released. Does this seem, this seems legit, right, Rabbit?
No.
Like, what? Are you telling me Alexa Bliss doesn't have any affiliation to Ohio, or that she would not contact the stranger asking for her $800,989 to be released via Cash App?
To me, it sounds like a lot of BS.
I don't. I told him it seemed legit to me and to go for it.
I mean, I like Alexa Bliss. She's changed so much since they got rid of the Lily doll and the whole Lily.
Oh yeah.
All right,
I mean,
Rabbit.
I thought they were going to keep rolling and make it. Huh?
All right.
we're giving
so
you the hook.
I got to tell you something, Jason. And you can remember this.
Yes, Jason. Remember
you remember this, Jason. You're a great guy. You think you're smart. You got muscles. But the IGF knows quality over quantity. And
she's been telling him that for years.
The IGF would rather be around Johnny Fairplay than you.
Oh, whoa, hey.
Oh, Rabbit Brain. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. So now he's implying that my gal has the hots for Johnny Fairplay. And maybe she does. I don't know. I'll ask her tonight. And,
I felt he implied she was a size queen. Quantity over quality, Jason.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? My God, it's always an experience.
Your quality. Take that as a compliment.
Yeah, I am the quality. I don't think she'd describe it that way. But anyway, and she'd probably laugh at the muscles part.
Yeah.
So let's see, 405. We're going to get to you in just 1 second. But I do need to give myself a breather after the Rabbit experience of white knuckling it on the mute button. My God, what is he going to say to get this show banned forever? So, Johnny, why don't you tell everybody about realityaftershow.com?
Woo, Reality After Show. It is the premier reality after show podcast. If you watch Survivor, if you watch The Challenge, you watch any of the cool reality shows, we got you covered. Go to realityaftershow.com for links to the audio and video. If you just want to go straight to the YouTube, not a problem. Go to youtube.com/aftershow. And if you want to see me live, the last Survivor viewing party I have this year is this coming Wednesday. I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. My Charlotte debut, I'm going to be at Lenny Boy Brewing Company. It is an amazing brewery. They have really cool events. They've had some wrestling events over the past year. Really awesome place, Lenny Boy Brewing Company. Get tickets at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. It's going to be me and the Queen, Sandra Diaz Twine, my arch enemy and Survivor. We're joining forces together. We got Adam Gentry. He's from Survivor Cook Islands. He'll be there. Maybe a surprise or two. We have VIP still available in very limited quantities. I would suggest get those now. Go to SurvivorTix.com. And as far as the actual podcast stuff, you know, Survivor, we're coming in the last 3 weeks. I may or may not have had a couple of the survivors that I'm not supposed to have my viewing parties at my last two viewing parties.
What?
So maybe you want to get tickets. So it's crazy. And also we're covering the Challenge Australia. It's patron only content. So go to realitypatron.com. That's realitypatron.com and get links to the Australian Survivor episodes. And you get links to our after show podcast, which has been a lot of fun. They have some fun when they do, like, last week they had this tractor trailer challenge. You had to move these pegs along the side of this tractor trailer. And, the next episode they go, previously on the Challenge Australia, we got pegged. And I was like, that would never make it on US television. So kudos to the Challenge Australia for having fun and a sense of humor and pretending like it's 2003 again. And peek behind the curtain, Jason, just because I love you. I love all your listeners. And I've had people reach out. I had people that bought cameos over the holidays, this past holiday, for Christmas presents and, you know, and enjoying taking advantage of the Black Friday special at cameo.com/Johnny Fairplay. And they're like, hey, I don't watch Survivor. I listen to you when you're on with Jason. And I know some Survivor fans in my life, and it is the best cameo I've ever gotten ever. And so thank you to your fans, Jason, that have expanded their horizons. But because they are so nice, and because you are one of my favorite friends in all of wrestling journalism, I'll give you a peek behind the curtain. Last week, when I joined you, I had to get an impromptu haircut because I was supposed to get a haircut another time, and because of the holidays, everything got moved. Right after the haircut, I had two Zoom calls for two new television shows, and I am doing both of them. One is a one-day shoot. I'll be in Los Angeles the day of the Survivor finale and shooting that. It's for one of the big networks. And then the other show is going to be a very big cable show, a new show, and I will be gone for a month filming that from the end of January towards the end of February. And so peek behind the curtain, just because you and all your listeners were so lax not crucify me for my inept performance last week. But there you go. So get ready. Johnny Fairplay is ready to do some bad things on TV again.
Now, wait a minute. Do they know about your commitment to this show? You can't just disappear for a month.
We'll check the PFA. Oh, when here? Okay, I got my shooting schedule. When is the Royal Rumble?
The Royal Rumble, I want to say, is like the 28th of January, but don't quote me on that. I'll look it up right now. Typing with one hand is not easy.
Yeah, I leave the 30th. Yeah, sorry about that.
So the Rumble itself is... it is the 28th.
You haven't dated the girls. Is it the 28th?
It is the 28th. But the problem with that is it's a Saturday.
You haven't dated the girls I dated.
And you'll be leaving the day we'd be live. But here's the thing. Well, we can talk about it off the air. I think I want to do one more this year. I think I'm going to do one coming out of NXT Deadline and ROH Final Battle. And I know that you tend to stick to WWE and AEW. If you do choose to watch one or both of those shows, join me. If not, I will scramble and find a different co-host. But I think we're going to do one more Boom Live here coming up. I think that would be December 12th coming out of those two shows. But let's get to the phone lines, because we've had some people waiting for a while now. I will make my plug quick. PWmembership.net will get you ad-free access and ad-free podcasts to the site. And also, you can become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/prowrestlingdotnet. I may tell you more at the end of the show, but I do want to try to make sure that 405 doesn't wait any longer. 785, you're up next. 405, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Jay Moss in Oklahoma City, formerly of Cincinnati. How you doing?
There he is. Jay Moss, what's happening, my man?
Not much. I was coming off of a cold last week, so I was like, I was like, me being on with a voice that wasn't great, not a good idea. And I almost completely forgot today, too. So I was like, oh, crap. You know? So... but let me get straight to my questions. If WWE is not going to do any PLEs between now and Rumble, how long do you wait to start hyping the Rumble? I mean, the Rumble sells the Rumble. We know this, but still, I mean, do you wait 4 weeks or what?
If it's Tony Khan, it's a week and a half.
So if the show's on the 28th, he starts hyping it like, you know, the I guess the 16th, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
We're good.
So
the Tuesday after Monday Night Raw.
Perfect. I guess if it were me, I mean, you can do a little bit of a song. You're always going to be mentioning it, obviously. But as far as like really starting to put matches together and things, I'd probably wait until the first episode of the new year. You know, I mean, it's nice to have that extra time. If they have some concept where you need to have, they don't though, like qualifying matches or something, you could do it sooner, I guess. But I think I would probably maybe build to an end of the year show and then kick off the new year with the Rumble hype. And the nice thing about the Rumble is, as you said, Rumble sells a Rumble. you can put people in there, and it's self-explanatory. It'd be nice to actually hear from those people more than we do when it comes to people you feel like have a real chance to win. But when it comes to building up the rest of the card, there's two long Rumble matches. I mean, as we saw with this show, five matches only. Only three non-War Games matches. Probably something similar for the Rumble. So you just don't need as much time to build up a show like that as opposed to one where maybe you have eight regular matches, no gimmick matches. So, yeah, I just think start fresh with the new year to really start kicking the hype in. Johnny, do you feel any differently?
No, I put the car on cruise control until New Year's, and then you have fun from there. And I think once New Year's hits, I thought they were going to pull the trigger on turning on Sami Zayn at Survivor Series.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad
too.
They didn't. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, you still got to pull that trigger sooner than later, because, you know, once it's past its expiration date, then the effectiveness is done. But I felt what Sami did was so huge that the sacrifice that he made, and he did not sell his soul to the devil. He sold his soul to the people that he believed in, and that's not the devil. But when they turn on him, it's going to hurt that much more that he did that to his, you know, lifetime friend. So I thought it was just storytelling mastery and all that. And I'm glad that it didn't happen as soon as it did, because, you know, like, let's milk this for a little while longer. But so I was expecting, you know, either the day one or whatever, the next pay-per-view, you know, perhaps even the Royal Rumble opponent for Roman Reigns to be Sami Zayn. I do not think that's the case now. And as you predicted, I think we can heat up Sheamus for 3 weeks, you know, going into the Rumble.
Yeah, we'll see what they do there. I think we have an email question coming up about that, so we'll address that a little bit later. But J-Moss, what else you have?
Sure. Well, talking about the possibility of hyping an end of year show, they don't have a live Monday Night Raw scheduled for the week after Christmas, the 26th. I just happened to be looking at their schedule, and the only thing they have is holiday tour shows or house shows.
I think they're taping that show in advance, I believe.
Yeah, they'd be taping in Des Moines, Iowa, I think the previous week.
I was just there a few weeks ago.
Oh,
beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. The Wells Fargo Center.
Seth Rollins,
nice
Iowa Field Day.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins will love that.
He will.
Yeah, so, but who would be the early candidate for a Rumble win on each side?
Man, that's the big question. I mean, on the women's side, I think it's a little easier, Johnny. I would say either Becky or Rhea Ripley. I guess you can throw in, if Sasha were to come back, maybe she's a candidate. But those are the two that I think end up getting title shots. Charlotte Flair's in that mix whenever she returns. But those are the two I see getting the title shots this year. And then on the men's side, I mean, look, it depends what they're doing. Obviously, The Rock is the big question. If they have him, then I don't even know. Does he win the Rumble? I don't know how you do it, because I would think he's just going to sit tight until Mania itself as far as, like, getting in the ring. So I don't know what you do there. But if indeed it is, at WrestleMania without The Rock, and the Rumble's going to determine who gets the title shot as usual, they're not going to pull a fast one and say, well, it's actually for the Intercontinental or U.S. title because The Rock has the match. If there's no Rock, Johnny, we got a lot of candidates. What's your best guess right now?
I think we have candidates with The Rock, because I'm going a different. So it's two nights in Los Angeles, right?
Mania's in Los Angeles.
For
the Rumble's at Alamo Dome.
Yeah, two nights. Yeah, no, but two nights in LA for Mania.
Yes.
Okay, so you predicted on the audio that we're gonna, you know, night one will be the women's championship, and night two will be the men's championship. I'm going a different direction. Going night one, I feel the poster for WrestleMania goes to Hollywood or whatever it's called, is going to have Roman Reigns in the center, The Rock on one side, Cody Rhodes on the other side. So Cody Rhodes wins the Rumble and gets the winner of The Rock versus Roman Reigns night two, and night one is The Rock versus Roman Reigns.
Gotcha.
So Roman Reigns beats The Rock, but he's hurt, and then Cody takes advantage of that.
I think Cody is certainly the strongest non-Rock candidate, and the scenario you gave is possible. We'll see. Beyond that, I think you're looking at Seth. Steve Austin is rumored to be getting ready for something at Mania. I mean, my God, if you could, let's say you don't get Rock. Well, if you get Austin and Reigns, that's a pretty big deal too, but it doesn't have to be a title match that Steve's in either. Sammy, of course, and hell, let's throw out Solo Sikoa's name. I mean, if they've really been keeping him strong, and I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger on something like that for WrestleMania, but he is an interesting name to watch. I'm probably forgetting some. I mean, it's a fun year for the Rumble, man. I can't wait for the Men's Rumble because it is the big question. You know, most years you kind of have a feeling it's going to be this person. Here's your dark horses, but realistically, it's going to be this person. I don't feel that way this year, and I like that a lot. You know, if they get Rocky, you got to do it. But if not, man, I really do enjoy the mystery and the drama of who could win this Rumble. J-Moss, did you have one more for us?
No, those were the only two I had. I real quick, though, there are rumors that maybe it's Owens for Rumble in January, Reigns and Zayn in Montreal in February at Elimination Chamber, which Reigns Zayn at Reigns or Reigns versus either Owens or Zayn in Montreal would make sense because they're both from the area.
Yep, absolutely. No, and I forgot about the chamber being in Montreal. That's right. I think I earlier acted like, is there a chamber this year? But yes, it is.
That's where Sammy gets screwed. That's where the Bloodline puts the knife in. The shank in is Montreal, I think.
And then,
think about how awesome. I mean, like, it's beautiful.
It'd be a big deal, man. And then especially if he has like a reunion after the beating with Kevin Owens in Montreal, there's a lot they can do. And as much as people want to see Sammy and Roman, and I'm sure they'll get there eventually, I really want to see KO and Sammy against the Usos. But J-Moss, I appreciate you taking the time to call in as always, man. I hope you are doing well. Happy you're over your cold. We're going to take another call, and we'll get to some email questions. 785, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, this is Briar Starr from Kansas, home of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, Briar, what's going on, man? Briar does our AEW Dark reports every Wednesday morning. You can check those out. But, Briar, what's going on today, man?
Not a whole lot. Just preparing for the cold snap, I guess, we're going to be getting tomorrow and the rest of the week. So
That's what I call coming home from hanging out with my friends to my girlfriend, the cold snap.
Nice.
Thank you.
I do have a couple of questions for you, Jason. First one is on referee distractions. They kind of been happening a lot lately, and it's to the point where I'm kind of turned off about it. And it's kind of becoming predictable when it happens. You know, like the full gear main event with the ref up kind of brought the match down a little. I get why companies do it, but in your mind, how do you think companies can improve on those distractions? And I guess, how can I suspend my disbelief when those incidents happen, and especially when there's like so much going on in the background? It just it's kind of been turning me off a little bit. And then I have a second question as well.
Sure, Johnny. I mean, is it as simple as just pulling back and saving it for key times rather than doing it as often as they do? I mean, it's just become, whether it's the referee or the babyface being distracted by something, it's just become this go-to finish for wrestling companies that I think a lot of fans are just rolling their eyes at.
More promos and more semi-squash matches. So you do not, every match doesn't need to be a semi-main event every single show. Like, what, as harkening back to the beginning of the episode, like, I had dreams of the Road Warriors versus the Midnight Express. Not because I saw the Midnight Express and the Road Warriors in the ring together, just because they talked about it. And you know, and you would have the Midnight Express beat up some jobbers and pretend they were the Road Warriors. And you'd have the Road Warriors be like, this is you, the Midnight Express. We're going to kill you. And then they'd kill, you know, like there's a hierarchy in wrestling. Like everyone doesn't need to be protected. And, you know, and it appears as though Triple H is making a lot of hires and, you know, and some hires you hope the best for, but you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. So like, let's have some of those people that you like that, you know, that aren't losers, but they can lose matches and it's okay. You know, they're on TV, they're getting money. It's not real. It's okay.
Yeah,
so I want more of that. Like, beef up the roster and have people take losses.
I'm with you. And I know there's people that'll push back on that. And they always do if you start mentioning enhancement matches on television because they're so used to getting more than that. But I do feel like it is a solution to this problem because there'd be fewer distraction finishes. I'm not calling for, you know, what you're covering, Briar, where it is mostly an episode of Dark or Dark Elevation is mostly squash matches, enhancement matches. I'm not saying we get that on Raw or Dynamite, but I do think Johnny's right. You can mix more in than we get. They can be very effective in getting people over. And I think that's been some of the issue with what we've seen here from both AEW and WWE. AEW for a while there, it felt like every week somebody new was turning up. We've been in that mode with WWE for a while now, since Paul Levesque came back, with him rehiring a lot of different people. And I just feel like there's too much of the same when it comes to, here's a new person, bam, you better know who they are, and they're thrust right into something. Sometimes it's okay just to build them up with squash matches. And it is, it wasn't something I was thinking about, but Johnny's right. And Briar, I think that is a solution. Briar, you said you had another question?
Yes, I did. I guess my last question is about the upcoming Renew Honor pay-per-view. There really hasn't been a buzz to the show, as has been in years past. Really, the only build-up is Jericho and Claudio, but nothing else has really been announced yet. I'm sure more matches will be announced in the coming weeks, but, you know, like I said, the build to the show has been kind of quiet. Do you think Tony could do a better job of hyping up the ROH show, especially maybe doing some social media clips on Twitter or something? And also, what's your outlook for ROH in general in 2023?
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, we're joking earlier, Johnny, about Tony Khan not promoting pay-per-views until the last minute. This is one where I don't know that I would blame him because it is such a, I think, select audience that is choosing to watch the ROH shows. And now, the only way, obviously, to get more than that to watch it is to do more with ROH on your television show. But we've seen a lot of pushback to that. People want AEW on AEW television. There have been a lot of people grumbling anytime he's gone overboard with too much ROH on the show. And I think we're probably in for a couple weeks of that because they probably, you know, they're going to need to do some angles and things. But I do feel like, yeah, there's just this audience that is going to order the show anyway. And I don't know that when it comes to the outlook for ROH, I don't really have one until they get TV because it's just 3 pay-per-views a year right now, and they take up a little bit of time on AEW television and create even more title belts than we need on AEW television. So there's, I mean, it's this pay-per-view. Yeah, I don't even know what else to expect from it. It's ROH, and I'm not interested right now. I mean, I think the lineup will end up being good. It usually is, and the ROH pay-per-views that Tony's produced have been good. So it's not that I can't look forward to it on that level. But just from a storytelling perspective, I mean, what are you going to do to get people excited right now about ROH, Johnny?
It's Christmas, dude. I'm worried about Sia and Mariah Carey records right now. We're good. Don't need to watch Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, again, there is a hardcore audience that's going to order any pay-per-view that Tony Khan or any company, and you know, a big enough company is going to put out there. And they do, again, good track record.
No, listen. I think he was hoping that the TV deal would be, like, I think when he bought it and brought back pay-per-view, I think he saw by the end of the year, you know, either a TV announcement or whatever he's going to do with it going forward to have been a done deal by now, and it's not. So he's just like, okay, well, we can't say anything. And so, like, this is just one on the books that you just got to get through, and that's all it is to it. So,
yeah, I hope it gets better. I hope they, part of me hopes they find another, you know, hour for Ring of Honor television. Part of me hopes they don't, because I just think there's so much content available. That it's just at some point it's like, this is just too much, and the toll that it's going to take on Tony Khan because he insists on booking this himself, and I just think it's overkill for Tony is. But anyway, Breyer, thank you for calling. We're going to get into some email questions. First timer Lawrence from Tacoma, he says he hopes we had a good Thanksgiving. Johnny, I did you have a nice Thanksgiving? You had the vid last year, so it had to be better this year.
No. What happened?
You had the vid last year. This year had to be better, right?
Oh, no. I love the vid. I got to lay in bed and watch television that's not reality TV for a week. It was amazing. I loved it. No, it was pretty crappy. I was gone for 24 hours to an event in New Jersey, and my girlfriend secretly moved out while I was gone.
That's not good. I didn't even know this. I'm sorry I asked now. See what happens when you write into the show for the first time, Lawrence from Tacoma. Wow. Poor Lawrence. He just thinks he's offering a nice Thanksgiving greeting, and then Johnny
hits
us
with
that. You're still together. She just said, I'm out of here.
We're still together. We lived together for years. She moved out secretly while I was gone for 24 hours.
It's Thanksgiving. She was trying to give herself something to be thankful about. Can you blame her?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
That's all right.
Poor Lawrence's question.
I gave her something to be thankful for three times yesterday morning.
Lawrence's question, he says, with no PLEs until the Rumble, who do you see Roman's challenger being at the Rumble? I knew we had this coming up. He lists Sheamus or Kevin Owens or even Sammy. He says, spinning it forward, do you think we get KO and Sammy versus the Usos at Mania? I personally do. So it sounds like you're saying yes on that, but who do you think? Is it Sheamus? I think you mentioned that earlier.
I wasn't thinking Sheamus until you mentioned it, and I love Sheamus. I mean, like, I've met him in real life, and he's so cool. Like, he's just a cool dude. And like, I remember being at I think it was a Monday Night Raw or maybe even a house show but like when him and Claudia they were the bar. Like we had me and Thunder D, the guy that did the Dead Grandma Lie with me. We just screamed at him just nonstop, him and Claude, you know, like hold a tag rope. If you don't hold a tag rope, it doesn't count as a tag.
That's right.
And like the whole time, like they were basing all their moves based around the tag rope. And I think they were going maybe against the Usos, and they were screaming at, they're just like, you're not using the tag rope. And they're like, that's right. That's right. So, and then I saw him at the that was the same night I saw Braun Strowman at the airport. And he explained to me that WWE was a superior product to TNA wrestling. And I'm shocked to hear this. he was a moron. beside the point.
And if you think he's bad follow him on Twitter.
Sheamus. I'm fully aware. I do not follow him on Twitter. I don't follow anyone. I do, but you have to have an OnlyFans. I was not thinking Sheamus. However, I've loved everything that Sheamus has done essentially this year. I wanted to say, like, you know, the last few months, and I was like, no, the last several months. I'm like, no, this year I've loved everything Sheamus has done. What a great reward for being great. So, and Sheamus has been great. So what's wrong with Sheamus being like, you know, Roman's not losing the championship prior to WrestleMania.
Right.
I mean, he may lose at the house show, Hollywood's Holiday Spectacular that you go to in your town. He might, but I think he's going to lose at Mania, if not after Mania. So whoever goes against Roman, you know the outcome. So let's get a great, like, I think Sheamus will bring it. So, and then as a reward for, you know, for having an amazing, like, because Rumble sells Rumble. That's not what we're watching it for. But if we watch it, we enjoy it. What's another gold watch for doing that? How about go win the IC belt at WrestleMania, which we wanted when we saw the first match with Sheamus and Gunther back then. We're just like, stop doing it and then bring it back at Mania so it means something.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I would go with Sheamus if it were me. I can't rule out that they go with KO, the other name that he listed, because certainly he played into the finish. He got his own entrance and everything else. And then Sammy, I mean, look, we do have, we're 2 months away today from the Rumble. So there is time for that split. But I think what Johnny said, if you're going to do something with Sammy and the Bloodline, I think I do that in Montreal for the Chamber. So, yeah, it's one. Yeah. I think it's between Sheamus and KO. And I mean, if I'm
maybe the Chamber title match is against KO.
Could be, yeah, yeah.
So it's like Sunday Bloody Sunday for Montreal. Like Roman Reigns beats KO and then turns on Sammy. Like all that happens in Montreal.
Yep, definitely a possibility. His other question, I think we kind of addressed. He asked about the women's main event at Mania, being Becky and Rhea. I think it's going to be Rhea and Bianca and Ronda and Becky. And it sounds like, Johnny, you and I are on the same page with that one.
Yeah, that's the better pairing. Sorry, Becky. I think it's perfect. Because they've built up Rhea with essentially doing so little. They've built her up as a monster. And if, holy moly, did she have the best outfit of Survivor Series. Ooh, if I could get that same outfit, I don't know. It'd probably fit.
Thank you for that image. You know, oh, my God.
Her arms and shoulders. You're welcome. Her arms are short. She looked like a monster in every perfect descriptor of the word. And it's no secret, Bianca is jacked. I mean, you know, she can do anything she wants power-wise. So that's your match there. And then Ronda and Becky is the match that we deserved before and that we're finally getting.
Tom from St. Paul asks if we have any idea why WWE did away with submission or surrender and now allows pinfalls in the War Games matches. I mean, that was always the thing back in the day. It had to be by submission. I guess when Levesque took it over at NXT.
Submission or surrender.
Yeah, when NXT, I think all the NXT versions had pinfalls allowed too. I'm not too bothered by it. I mean, it's, I guess I like the submission, but if maybe they just feel like it gives them more options. I don't know the answer, but I'm just speculating.
Well, you don't want, like, you know, just like they protect people with the referee distraction, you don't want someone to just, like, with 5-on-5, if you say I quit, you're a puss, dude. So, and that's why they always had like a J.J. Dillon or Jimmy Jam Garvin in there. You know, there was always that one person you're just like, oh, yeah, they're going to quit. Like, if you booked a Survivor Series and I'm on one of the two teams, guess who's quitting? It's me. Spoiler. Like, I'm the guy. Okay. So, like, that was always the kind of loophole. And so, you know, if you're doing, like, you know, a modern-day version of Survivor Series with, you know, athletes and no Bobby Heenan's or Paulie Dangerously or J.J. Dillon or Johnny Fairplay snuck in there, then you don't, like, you got to be a pretty crappy dude to give up in front of 9 other dudes, you know?
Fair enough.
Because even, like whatever there is in me, if there's 9 other dudes looking at me, I'm just like, I ain't quitting. Like, I might help my team, or I might help the other team, like, beat somebody up so it's not me, but I don't want it to be me. Like, I got that much pride. And so it's kind of crappy for someone to submit / surrender in front of 9 of your colleagues and 4 of your friends.
Tom also asked.
I'm okay with the out of pinfall.
All right. Tom also asks, how much does WWE's no blood policy hurt their presentation of War Games and other gimmick matches? Says, I don't want to get into the tribalism, but I do think it's fair to compare War Games and Blood and Guts. Absolutely. He says, both are billed as brutal career-altering matches, but damn does Blood and Guts feel so much more brutal and intense. And they are handicapped by the fact that they can't use the history of the War Games. Johnny, I agree. I think that if you're looking for gritty, Blood and Guts is certainly grittier than WWE's version of War Games, where I think AEW has made mistakes, is rather than just leaving it feeling gritty, they feel the need to throw people off the top of the structure into heavily padded areas and like just...
Yeah.
But I do prefer blood and guts.
I was about to say, did you forget the finish?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was about to say, did you forget the finish? Because like whatever equity they built by, like, it's like, wow, this is kind of war games. This is kind of what we want, right? And then the finish is, you know, climbing on top. I'm just like, why? Like, protect the integrity of the cage. Do not leave the cage. And so they climb on top, and then they go to crash pads. I'm like, oh, my God. From bad to worse? Like, can we ruin this anymore? Let's just put up a sign and say, applaud now, and this wasn't real. Can we do that, too? Is that because that was the only thing left from what they did. And Chris Jericho, who I respect as a wrestling mind, how could he not know that that would not come off as horrible?
I know. I'm with you. Yeah, I definitely prefer blood and guts, and I am somebody that does feel that when used occasionally, blood certainly can enhance a match, and War Games is one. Hell in a Cell would be another. Cage matches. We just had Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and they used blood. Where they lost me, too, was feeling the need to get that cage door open. I love the match, but again, prove that you're different than WWE. You have a cage match. The goal should be, all right, they've ruined their cage match. Let's make ours work. You don't get out of the cage. And there they were, getting out of the cage to go, you know, all the usual stuff. Jerry from Illinois.
It was quick. It was quick.
Speaking of quick, we got 10 minutes left and a bunch of emails, Johnny, so make it quick.
I felt like they did. I'm with you. I love protecting the honor of whatever the gimmick is. But I thought, with Christian, Christian stealing the key, doing that, and then getting out of there, and then them out and back in fast, I was okay with it.
Okay. Jerry from Illinois asked, can we stop with Owens and Sammy? He said, this feud has happened numerous times in WWE and ROH. If Sammy and Owens team together, one will turn on the other and the cycle starts again. To that I say, no, we can't because they're still doing good things. Johnny.
Yeah, no. I fight forever. Fight, team fight.
Whatever that was at War Games.
Kill, team kill, whatever.
He says, whatever that was at Survivor Series wasn't War Games. War Games has a roof and people waiting outside the cell, not in the TNA penalty box. Your thoughts? I mean, it's their vision for War Games. I prefer a roof. I know Hunter has talked, or Paul Levesque has talked about it. He likes the fact, that you can jump off the top of the structure. I think there's an easy solution. Build a damn higher structure with like a platform somewhere where you can still get your big dives in. Just me. But yeah, I prefer the roof, and it sounds like you feel the same.
I prefer the roof. However, that shot from above, I feel doesn't exist with a roof on top of it. And that's a really cool shot, that above shot. And I'm sure if I'm in the building and, I personally wouldn't have crappy seats, but if I did have crappy seats, that roof is also working against you there. So, the entire time I'm watching, for the record, you say that no one ever remembers the opening video for a pay-per-view ever, greatest opening for a pay-per-view ever for Survivor Series. Thank you very much, Ozzy Osbourne lip sync. I'm for it all day long. And number two, all I thought about the entire pay-per-view was Vince just sitting at home screaming, you know how much you lost in ticket revenue with two rings? Ah, you idiots!
Yes, all it took was a pop culture icon to appear in the opening video. And we finally got one that people will remember.
Yeah.
Three, he says, with AEW contracts coming due in the next few months, Regal being one, do you think we see a lot of signings Tony Khan made with people jumping back to WWE under Paul Levesque? He says Khan seems to have turned into Vince with nonsensical booking and shiny toy syndrome. He says, I mean, Jamie Hayter is the first women's champion who had a story to tell and a character other than Britt Baker. I do think, Johnny, we're going to see, I don't know when, various contracts are up, but I do think we will see some movement. I would be, I don't know when their deals are up, Johnny. I'd be shocked if
FTR
stayed put. Yeah, I mean, they've been used so infrequently. And here we go again. Dax Harwood's going to have a dream match against Bryan Danielson on Wednesday. That's great. I look forward to the match.
That's
You know what would make it better? Is if they told a freaking story rather than just, hey, they're going to have a match. Great. Thanks, guys.
Or a, ta- or, or Brian Danielson and anyone as his tag team partner against FTR. That would be better.
I would take that. If only they hadn't turned Daniel Garcia back to Jericho for no good reason.
Yeah, there you go. Daniel Garcia and Brian Danielson against FTR. Boom. I don't know, but third from the top on your next pay-per-view, but no. Who wants that? Let's have a singles match. Or a six-man tag, brother.
I do want to back up to his previous question. The shark cages. I mean, we've seen them in NXT. Do you like that they use those for war games, or do you prefer everybody stand at ringside?
I like the shark cages because that Tegan Nox Dakota Kai was so cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like they did mention it, but they didn't show it, which is good because I don't like, for whoever didn't see that, I'm hoping that they don't search it out. And for those that did see it, I hope they forget because I want to see that happen again in the future on WWE programming, not NXT. I love that. That was a special, special moment.
That was awesome. One thing I would say, I noticed it, especially with Drew McIntyre's entrance, the lack of music when somebody leaves the shark cage, not exactly a great thing. Crowd just really sat there. I've never heard Drew McIntyre get such a flat reaction as a babyface before. And so that's just a little something that maybe you just add some music or something. But then final question comes from Jermaine from Chicago. He took his usual shot at the Vikings like an idiot. Way to keep Justin Fields in one piece, like I told you, Jermaine. And then asked some really stupid question that I'm not going to bother anyone with. But he did have one question, kind of.
Sure.
He says, Johnny, if you had to work a match with an armed policeman accompanying you, like Cain Velasquez, would you A, do the different wrestler under the mask gimmick, or B, sneak out of the shower window after the match? So you can imagine how shitty the other question was.
Oh, geez. I would have a... Dijakovic work his new big boss man gimmick and come to the ring with me.
Do you have any issue with this? That Cain Velasquez is getting to do this, getting to travel, you know, from California to Arizona while he's on bail.
No, not why. For those of you that are wondering why he's on bail for attempted murder is because he tried to kill a pedo, and God bless you, brother. Keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I get it. No vigilante justice and all of that. I do, but no, I don't have any issue with this whatsoever, and I'm happy that he was allowed on my bail.
Yeah.
Johnny, that's going to do it for us today. At Johnny Fairplay, no H, correct?
Correct, and as you steered in my direction, you guys need a great Christmas gift for the Survivor fan or reality television fan or just people that appreciate good-looking, awesome people in your life. Go to cameo.com/JohnnyFairplay, no H in Johnny, and check out my podcast, Reality After Show. Search on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. Search Reality After Show with Johnny Fairplay. Give us 5 stars or just leave a review. You can leave a 1-star review. It all helps. It really doesn't matter, but I prefer 5. So if you're going to take the time based on my recommendation, don't be an a-hole and give 5 stars, but either way it works. So you could just go and be an a-hole and it still bumps the algorithm. And so everything's available at realityaftershow.com. If you want to watch this directly, just go to youtube.com/aftershow. And then lastly, check me out for my last appearance of the year before I disappear, going to make reality television history once again. Join me in Charlotte, North Carolina this Wednesday night, Lenny Boy Brewing Company, me and the Queen, Sandra Diaz Twine, Adam Gentry, and more. Go to SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com.
There you go. I hope he ends up on the circle. That's my hope, is this reality show that he's not telling us about. I want to see Johnny Fairplay on Netflix. It's the circle. And then, hey, if things don't go well with the girlfriend, there's always a chance that he could go on Love is Blind. Imagine that. Johnny and his award-winning personality just talking to women in pods. Sounds like fun. Hey, check out ProWrestling.net. That's where I'm at. Of course, all the major television shows and pay-per-views reviewed, news, all sorts of stuff. And if you want to take it to the next level, pwmembership.net is the place to go. We have audio reviews of all the major television shows and pay-per-views, my Q&A audio show, the .net weekly audio show that Jake Barnett and I co-host together usually every Thursday. This week we got bumped back to Friday because of the holiday. And so much more. It is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. All the audio content and the website itself are ad-free. And if audio is your jam, I encourage you to check out patreon.com/prowrestling.net. You got to spell it out, patreon.com/prowrestling.net. You can save some money by checking out our various tiers if that's what you're into. And finally, follow me on Twitter, @ProWrestlingNet. And we'll see how long Twitter lasts, right? But that is the end of this show. I appreciate Johnny for not scheduling a hair appointment in the middle of the show. I appreciate everyone who took the time to call in and email. And I will be back tonight after Raw for the .NET members with my weekly same-night audio review. Until next, everybody, thank you so much. Take care.